Right, so who doesn't love getting a good deal right? This week, we are diving into this Super Negotiate 60-day challenge that you found.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is like, I feel like this is relevant for anybody who's ever like negotiated anything in their life.
Totally.
Like from getting your car.
Absolutely.
To negotiating your salary at work. To even just like, I don't know, the last cookie in the cookie jar with your roommate. You know?
Yeah. And what I think is really interesting about this particular approach is that it's not really about like the tricks or, you know, kind of being like a hard-nosed, you know, shark or anything like that.
Oh, interesting.
It's really about self-awareness and preparation and really understanding all the pieces on the board.
I like that.
That are at play that Super Negotiate really emphasizes. So true, because I feel like so often we think about negotiation, we think of like, you know, that kind of stereotypical, like, used car salesman kind of thing.
Right.
Where it's like, you know.
Yeah, slick haired.
Yeah, slick back hair and, like.
Fast talking.
And, like, you just, like, totally get, you know, taken advantage of. But this is, like, the opposite of that.
It's the exact opposite.
Which I love.
You're right,
so they actually start, and I love how they start way back at day 60. Because this is a 60-day challenge leading up to your negotiation.
Right.
With defining your objective, which again seems so simple.
Yeah.
But I'm curious for you, like, how often do people actually go into a negotiation, maybe without even like that clearly defined in their head? Oh, all the time. And this is where Super Negotiate, I think, is really helpful because they really make you think about like, okay, what is the objective here? Is it simply to lower the price? Or are you looking for different terms? Are you looking for more flexibility in the deal? Are you actually looking to potentially replace the vendor altogether? Like, what is the end game here? And once you define that clearly, it really does change how you approach everything.
Totally. I love that. So we have our objective clearly defined. And then I love this other tip, or like, I guess you could even call it a power move a little bit.
Yeah.
That they emphasize on day 60, which is channeling the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Can you explain what that is a little bit?
Yeah. So I love this idea. And the way they describe it is basically you want to become the information gatekeeper.
Oh.
Right. So any communication, whether it's internal within your organization or external with the vendors, it all flows through you.
Yeah.
And that way you're not in the situation where, you know, a supplier is going behind your back and trying to like, you know, sweet talk some other stakeholder or get a better deal or whatever it might be. You are the central point of communication, and it really positions you in a powerful way as the decision maker.
Okay, so you're kind of like the hub.
We're the hub.
Of all information.
Exactly.
Related to this negotiation.
Love it.
Okay, so we've got our objective. We're channeling the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go even deeper on day two. And this one, for me, this one hit home.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about knowing your own weaknesses and leverage points.
Oh, that self-awareness is so crucial.
Yeah.
And they don't let you off easy here. Super Negotiate. They're like, you've got to be honest with yourself, right? No bluffing, especially at this early stage. Like, really ask yourself the tough questions.
Yeah.
How reliant are you on this particular supplier? Could you easily switch, or are you kind of stuck with them?
Yeah. Are there things that maybe you don't even want to think about, but you have to think about?
And
in terms of like your reliance on them.
Like, be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the truth hurts, but it's better to know now than later on in the negotiation.
Right. And they even go so far as to say, you know, you need to think about like potential budget cuts that might be happening within your company.
Oh, absolutely.
Or like new product launches or things like that, because those can also really influence your leverage.
Absolutely. Because imagine you go into a negotiation and you're trying to, you know, project this air of confidence.
Right.
But actually, in the back of your mind, you know that there are these budget constraints.
Right.
And that can subtly come out in the conversation. Right. And the supplier might pick up on that and use it to their advantage.
Oh, that's so interesting.
On the flip side, you know, if you have a new product that's launching, that's doing really well, that's leverage.
Right.
Because now you're signaling to them like, hey, we're growing, we're expanding, we have all these opportunities. And suddenly you have a much stronger negotiating position.
Okay. So it's not just about the information they have. It's also about the information that you have about yourself.
It's all about understanding your own playing field.
Okay. So we've got that. And then day five comes and it's like, oh, we're not done yet.
Right.
We need to figure out like, what is our actual role in this whole negotiation?
Yeah. Are you the decision maker?
Are we the decision maker? Are we the influencer?
Are the analysts? Are you just the messenger?
Right. Are we just delivering a message?
Exactly. And this is where I think it gets really interesting because each of those roles comes with its own kind of limitations.
Totally.
So if you go into a negotiation and you're, trying to negotiate a major price reduction, but ultimately you need approval from a committee,
Right.
it's not a good look.
Yeah.
And so it's better to understand that up front
Totally.
and not overpromise.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you misjudged what your role was?
Oh, yeah.
Or like what the power dynamics were, and it kind of led to maybe an unexpected turn of events.
Yeah, absolutely. Early in my career, I was involved in this tech procurement negotiation, and I was convinced we held all the cards. We had this cutting-edge tech. It was a relatively small supplier. I was feeling really good about it, maybe even a little cocky. And what I had failed to grasp was this supplier's reach beyond just our immediate deal.
Oh, so there were like hidden players.
Hidden players, power dynamics that I hadn't even considered.
Wow.
And it turned out that their technology was actually mission critical for this major player in our industry.
Oh, no.
And this is a company with influence that, I mean, we hadn't even, factored in.
Right.
And the moment that competitor's name like casually dropped in the conversation, I knew the playing field had completely shifted.
Oh, my gosh.
Talk about a crash course in I never underestimate the importance of research.
Right. Like knowledge is power.
Big
Okay, so speaking of research, because I feel like this is all about doing your homework upfront,
Yeah.
super negotiate.
Mm.
In these videos, they offer some really clever tactics, I think, for like sizing up the competition. And on day three, they introduce this power balance concept, and it's like a scorecard, right?
Exactly. It's like a scorecard. You've got your leverage on one side, you've got the supplier's leverage on the other side.
Okay.
And they start with this really fascinating metric, which is spend growth. So, how much has a supplier's business actually grown thanks to your company? And what's interesting here is that if a supplier has been consistently winning your business, it could actually give them more leverage.
Wait, so you're telling me it's like I'm accidentally helping them build a case for why they don't need to give me a better deal?
It's all about perspective, right? Because
Yeah.
if they can show that year after year,
So they've got my business.
they've got your business,
Yeah.
they're providing a valuable service or product, and maybe their prices have even gone up a little bit. They can say, well, look, we're still the best in the business, and you clearly agree because you keep coming back for more.
That's so sneaky, but also like kind of brilliant,
Right.
you know?
It's all how you frame it.
Yeah, totally. Okay. And then they go even deeper on day four and they start talking about things like RFP win ratios. So how often is a particular supplier actually winning your contracts?
Yeah. Are they consistently coming out on top?
Right.
And if so, it might mean that they've figured out your needs. They've figured out your bidding process.
Oh, that's a good point.
They have a system down.
Yeah, they know how to work you.
It's got an edge.
Okay.
Right.
And then they also have this little nugget in here about supplier response rates.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if they're constantly dragging their feet or, like, you know, dodging your calls, what does that tell you?
That's a really good question. And it could be a red flag. Right.
Yeah.
It could mean they're swamped, they're overloaded with other clients,
Right.
your business isn't a top priority,
Right.
but it could also be strategic, right? It could be
Ah.
a way to create a sense of scarcity
Interesting.
or exclusivity around their product or
Oh, it's like
service.
that restaurant that's always booked. And you're
Exactly.
like, oh, I just want to get in there even more now.
It's like the psychology of negotiating.
This is getting good. Okay, so we've got spend growth, we've got win ratios, we've got responsiveness. And just when I thought we were done,
Right.
day six hits us with five.
Yes.
Five additional dimensions that we need to be considering for this power balance scorecard.
It's a lot. It sounds overwhelming, but it's really not
Okay.
because each one adds this really interesting layer of nuance
Okay.
that can make or break the deal. And it gets you thinking about these dynamics in a really strategic way.
Everybody, give me the nuance.
All right. So let's start with supplier criticality.
Okay, criticality.
So think of it this way. You have a small supplier. Maybe they provide a very niche component, something that you might even overlook on a spreadsheet.
Okay.
But that component is absolutely essential to your production process.
Right.
Suddenly they have way more leverage than their size might
It's
suggest.
like that one bakery in town that has the most amazing sourdough. And they only supply to a couple places, but those are like the places that you love.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, we don't really need to like, you know, bend over backwards
Exactly. They've got you.
because we're the sourdough people.
They're the sourdough kings.
Oh, we sourdough criticality.
We love it.
What else?
Okay, so then we've got deal urgency,
No.
who's on a tighter deadline,
Oh,
who
interesting.
has more flexibility to walk away.
Okay.
Right. So are you in a situation where you need this deal done yesterday?
Right.
Or can you afford to let it breathe a little bit?
Okay.
Understanding that sense of urgency
On both sides.
on both sides is key.
Understanding that sense of urgency on both sides is key.
Absolutely. And sometimes that can really sneak up on you.
Right.
You might think you've got all the time in the world, but then suddenly there's a shift in the market or something happens internally
Right.
and that timeline gets a whole lot shorter.
Okay, so we've got to be aware of not just our own sense of urgency,
Right.
but theirs as well.
Exactly. Because that can be a really powerful leverage point for either side.
Totally. Okay, so we've got supplier criticality, deal urgency, and what's the next dimension of this power balance?
This one's a little more straightforward.
Okay.
Available time.
Yeah.
Who actually has the time to dedicate to this negotiation process?
Oh, interesting.
Right. Because sometimes you might have a really complex deal,
Right.
and if one side is trying to rush it through,
Yeah.
or they simply don't have the bandwidth to really dig into the
So you're
details,
gonna miss things.
they're going to miss things, and that can work to your advantage.
Okay, so it's almost like having more time can actually be a form of leverage.
It can be a huge leverage point.
Interesting. Okay, so we've got available time. What
All
else?
right, this next one's a biggie.
Okay.
Information advantage.
Ooh.
Who knows more?
Okay.
Right. Who has that deeper understanding of market prices, industry trends,
Right.
maybe even internal stakeholders on the other side?
Okay.
That knowledge is power.
Information is power.
Absolutely. And it can really tip the scales in a negotiation.
Totally, because if you know something that they don't,
Right.
that can really change how you approach the whole conversation.
It changes everything.
Okay, information advantage. I'm writing that down. Okay.
All right. And the final dimension for this power balance scorecard,
Okay.
market dominance.
Okay.
Are you dealing with a near monopoly?
Oh, interesting.
Right. Or is this a really fragmented market with tons of competition?
Go.
Because if a supplier knows that they're the only game in town,
Yeah, they don't really have a lot of incentive to like.
exactly.
Yeah.
They can pretty much dictate the terms.
Yeah, play ball.
But if they're in a highly competitive market,
Right.
suddenly they've got to fight for your business
Okay.
and you have a lot more leverage.
Okay, so it's not just about like the size of the company.
Right.
It's about their position within the market.
It's about the competitive landscape.
Okay, market dominance. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've gone through all five of these.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We have. It's a lot to think about. But
Yeah.
I'm curious for you, like, as you're going through this process, right, of like mapping out the power balance,
Yeah.
when is the right time to actually like start engaging with these suppliers?
That's a great question. And Super Negotiate, they actually recommend starting to engage with suppliers much earlier than you might think.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, like even on day seven,
Wow. Okay.
they're encouraging you to start having those initial conversations.
Interesting. And this is before we're even like sending out RFPs or anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the idea here is to gather as much intel as possible.
Oh.
And it doesn't have to be anything formal.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It could be as simple as like, oh, hey, I saw you just won this award.
Oh,
Congratulations.
that's smart.
Or, how's that new product launch going?
Oh, yeah. How are things over there?
Exactly. You're just trying to get a feel for,
Okay.
what's going on with their business.
So it's like intel gathering
It's intel gathering.
under the guise of like casual conversation.
Exactly. And you might be surprised by what you can uncover,
Okay.
right? You might pick up on some recent wins that they've had, maybe some new partnerships they've formed, how their financial performance is looking,
Okay, all useful information.
all useful and even potential challenges, right?
Oh.
Are there any like labor issues on the horizon?
Oh, that's important.
Are there any regulatory changes that might impact their industry?
Okay.
These are all things that could potentially give you leverage in a negotiation.
So it's almost like you're looking for those like hidden pressure points
Exactly.
that maybe they don't even realize you're aware of.
You're building your playbook.
I love it. Okay, so you're gathering all this intel, and then on the flip side, you're also looking for those weaknesses, right?
Absolutely, because every supplier has them.
Right, just like we do.
Just like we do.
So day seven, they're big on like finding those delivery hiccups, those quality issues, anything that could potentially give you an edge during a negotiation.
Exactly. And this is where doing your homework really pays off, right?
Okay.
Have they had any public missteps, like a product recall,
Right.
a negative news story?
Oh, yeah.
Are there whispers of internal conflicts or leadership changes that could potentially impact their
Oh,
performance?
that's so smart.
Because these vulnerabilities, when used strategically,
Right.
can become really powerful bargaining chips.
Okay, so it's not about being like ruthless or anything. Yeah,
it's about being informed.
Being informed.
Right. Knowing what cards are on the table, even if they're face down.
I love it. So it sounds like this whole deep dive is really about like knowledge is power.
Preparation is key.
Right. Like the more you know going into these negotiations.
Absolutely.
The better position you're going to be
in. Without a doubt.
By investing the time up front to gain that deep understanding, you step into any negotiation with more confidence, ready to navigate those twists and turns, and ultimately secure the best possible outcome.
And that's really what it's all about, right? It's not about like, you know, being adversarial or trying to, you know, outsmart the other side.
Right.
It's about finding a solution that works for everyone, but doing so in a way that also protects your interests.
Totally. And it sounds like super negotiate. Their whole philosophy is like knowledge is your secret weapon.
Absolutely. The more you know, the stronger your position at the negotiating table.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I have to say, this whole deep dive has really opened my eyes to like the power of preparation and not just like the surface level prep, but really digging into those power dynamics, understanding both my own leverage and the suppliers.
It's like you're building a negotiation playbook one intel report at a time.
Yes, exactly. And then you can walk into that room with confidence knowing that like you've done your homework.
You're ready for anything.
You're ready for anything.
I love it.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive. I'm feeling ready to go renegotiate a few things myself now.
That's the spirit. And remember, even though we've been focusing on kind of that pre-negotiation phase today, those power dynamics can shift, you know, during the actual conversations.
Oh, totally.
So stay adaptable, stay informed, and never underestimate the power of that strategic preparation.
Words to live by. Well, thank you so much for taking this deep dive with us.
It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, happy negotiating, everyone.